I want to say welcome to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Hallelujah. Now, I want you guys to know that you think I'm dressed casual tonight, but you're wrong. I want you to know that in the Philippines, this is actually a formal garment called a barong. And this is formal gear. And so it's official that I'm still dressed up tonight. Now, here in America, it may not look like it, but I want you to know that I am dressed up tonight. And here's what also is interesting. This is so dressy that in the Philippines, if I was taking it to the level of being married, woo, like if my sweetie was willing to renew our marriage vows, then all I would do is get a shirt like this with maybe a little more design and long sleeves, and I would just wear this shirt, and that would be my wedding day tuxedo. Absolutely. And as you can guess, this doesn't cost nearly as much over there as it is here. Like this shirt, it was about $799 in the Philippines. But when you match that up to American money, it was about $15. Amen. Here's what I want you to know. I'm telling you this because here is what I want you to understand. We're going to be talking about the anointing, and we're going to be talking about the presence of God. And I have dressed up in America and saw miracles in my suit, and I have worn my suits in every other nation, Africa, Uganda. But guess what? When I honored the Philippine style and wore this on Miracle Night, we had as many miracles as I've ever seen. So I'm here to tell each and every one of you that the anointing in the presence of the Lord must be in your heart and in your life, and you should be able to carry the anointing of God no matter where you are. Listen, I want to remind you that when Ananias went to pray for Paul the apostle, he was at home. He wasn't dressed up in his church clothes. Ananias was not a pastor. He was just a certain disciple like every one of us. And he didn't say, well, Lord, give me 45 minutes so I can shower up and clean up and put my best clothes on. He just carried what was resident in him. And I'm going to start challenging us because as believers, if the Lord came and spoke to us right now, have we kept ourselves this day in such a manner that God could even openly speak to us, number one? Whoo! When I'm at home being a housewife, when I'm at home being a husband, when I'm at home just doing the laundry, or when I'm at home just doing the lawn and doing all that, if I was at home like Ananias, not a Sunday, not a Sabbath day, not a church day, not a Thursday night, not a Sunday, just a regular day, and the Lord said, hey, I need you to go pray for the man that's been harassing and killing the church, and I want you to believe that he's a chosen vessel for me. And right now he's blind, and I want you to not just pray for him to receive his sight, but I want you to lay hands on him, and he's going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Are we living as Christians on a day-to-day basis that I could be out back mowing the lawn, cutting wood down, doing my gardening, and all of a sudden God could speak? And I could have the presence of God so in me on a day-to-day basis that in a moment of time, I could be sent to a home, sent to the hospital, sent somewhere, and just touch somebody's life. See, because that's where we got to go. That's where we got to go. And listen, you can call me, but it's not my job to be prepared to handle every miracle that's going to come across the path of the people in this church. It's your job. Say, my job is to lay down my own life. Have the Holy Ghost in me so much that he can speak to me. And if pastors in the Philippines, we're going to love the fact that he's there. but we're going to take care of the need right here. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, yeah. You can tell them where you got your shirt. Hallelujah. But I want you to know, I'm dressed up. So don't think that I'm not suited up. Don't think that I'm casual tonight. I'm not. I am wearing formal wear. It just happens to be formal in the Philippines. So to me, it's as though I still have my jacket on. It's as though I still got my tie on. And I'm looking nice and formally spiffy. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord tonight.
Formally spiffy.
Amen. Praise. Let's worship the Lord tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. and Worship shirt that it's Major Significance. It just talks about the latest album and a great song, that Faith Arise. It was $10. $10 U.S.
I think she might be making fun of somebody. Praise
him.
The Lord. Hallelujah.
I looked at Holly and said, why are we getting a Filipino education on
Amen.
Money right now?
Well, we're getting an education that I want you to know that even if it looks like
Amen.
By faith that I'm casual tonight, I want you to know that my anointing is as strong
Woo.
As if I had
Amen.
My best of my best.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I just had to mess with you
a
little
bit. I
know
you did. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So just so everybody's aware, you know, we gave.
Okay, wait.
We gave the information, or we gave all the stuff to Safe Haven
Amen.
Of Hardin County. We also took up $520 to have a check that we're going to bless them.
Whoa, praise the Lord.
Amen. So continue Amen. To keep that place in your prayer.
Amen.
And that the Lord Amen. Just supply everything they have needed.
Now, you know me, 5 is the number of God's grace. And 20 is a double portion of wholeness.
Amen.
Praise God. And that's what we're believing for. Isn't it amazing that God says, by my grace, for your shame, I'll give you double. Come on, you guys got me excited. Do you guys know that today is the National Day of Prayer? And I thought it was just amazingly interesting that we got our final approval during this week. Because I associated the final release of our building as a national impact, not just the local impact. Amen? So I want you to know. I want you to get your faith up. I want you to get your expectations up. Don't forget that Sunday is going to be an outflow of information about the building. We're going to talk timelines. We're going to talk all kinds of stuff. And we are just going to give ourselves a real opportunity to really make sure that we are invested in the future. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If it is, it represents the fact that blessed are those feet of the preachers of the gospel. Amen.
Two little toes right there and then the big toe swollen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What we've got.
Oh, I wanted to say this. I was late coming up today. Did you see that? I was like, hey, whoa. Thank you there. Well, listen to this. I want you to look to the back and you're going to see Shalyn and you're going to see Kristen. And it's their fault I was late because their wedding is coming up next Saturday. And for them, there's nothing more important in the world. So we're losing track of time and they are just in their little arena of faith.
Amen.
God gave them favor. They
They're only
ring.
Doing it
yeah.
once, so they
yeah.
might as well just
Amen.
Get
Amen.
About it. And
but they went ring shopping and God gave them rings that are 2 and 3 times the value of what they actually had to pay for them. Amen.
That's awesome.
And I told them the first thing they're going to see is just because they get the declaration of God over their life
yes.
and over their marriage and they commit themselves to the things of God, favor is going to start coming upon them and it's already taken place. Amen? So I do need by Sunday, if some of you are going to come to the wedding, and I'll announce this on Sunday, I'm actually going to have a sign-up sheet because between the family and the family of faith, I would like to know how many people are going to be here for next Saturday, and I still don't have a good feel for that total number yet, and I definitely want to know that, because you know, after the service, we do have to eat, so we're going to have the wedding at 4:30. If I don't run my mouth too long, we should be closing at the 5 o'clock time period, and then about 5:30, we'll take a little break so we can transform this room into a place where we can have a little food. And so we're going to be doing that next Saturday. And you guys are welcome to come. And we need to just kind of get our arms around that final number this weekend. Amen? So if we were late getting out here today, it's the wedding, you know, soon to be newlyweds back there that had us off focus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, hallelujah. What am I supposed to be doing right now? Oh, yeah. It is the outfit. I'm in the realm. I'm telling you, I'm feeling like I am anointed tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Huh? Hey, they're saying I got toes on my shirt now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe in giving? Why do you believe in giving? Huh? It's the right thing to do. Hallelujah. You just feel like giving is the right thing to do, huh? You know, the Bible does say it's more blessed to give than to receive. But you know what's so amazing about that is that, do you know why God wants you to give? Do you know why it's more blessed to give than to receive? Because in your giving, you supernaturally attach yourself to the things of God. And I tell you what, sometimes in life, we get through that moment where I call it the grind. And in the time of the grind, we have got to remember that when a seed is sown in the natural, it takes a season before you can go out and get fresh corn on the cob. Amen? You wouldn't plant no kernels of corn today and go out tomorrow with your little basket and say, hey, honey, don't pick no corn up, or I'm not going to get corn from the store because we planted corn yesterday. No, you're going to look at that field and you're going to see, even after weather, you're going to take a look at that field and you're going to look and you're going to look for the green leaf. Then you're going to look for the stalk, and then it's going to be another season before you go and you actually start pulling the kernels off. And I will tell you that harvest time in the kingdom of God is similar to that, in that harvest comes over time. Sometimes harvest comes right away, but also I want you to know that sometimes there's a season before you ever receive a return. I remember that you guys were in a service and you had to stretch yourself, and I think you sowed about $500, and it was a big challenge. And then later on from that sowing, guess what? Somebody got a hold of them and said, hey, how many boys do you have? And they said, hallelujah, we got an abundance. And this person just had favor and paid their school fees for a certain percentage for the whole year. And it was a little bit above that $500 you sowed. But at the time, that seed was an incredible sacrifice. And I promise you that sometimes we need to allow room to understand that not just in a moment of time, but over your lifetime and over and over and over, God is producing for you beyond what you even know. Amen? And so I just want you to know that tonight, God is producing for you. Amen? And so we are going to sow our seed tonight, and we're going to believe God to just release power into the kingdom. Amen? Well, I was supposed to let the children go before now, wasn't I? Amen. Hallelujah, because they like to sow downstairs. Praise God. But anyhow, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. When I look at those little children, I see the grace of God. I see the ability of God to just do far and beyond. Hallelujah. Hey, that's why we grew a member today, didn't we? Or yesterday, didn't we? Yesterday, we grew a member, amen, because Ashley and Derek had their baby yesterday. So, hallelujah. So, we gained a member, amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, that there's nothing that we do in the kingdom of God that is supposed to just be a temporary moment, God. Father, when we become Christians, we're Christians. God, when we become men and women of faith, we're men and women of faith. God, we need to remember that even at our weakest moments, we are supernatural, God. Even at our weakest moments, even when we're tired, God, even we're in the middle of grinding situations that did not seem to be turning out the way we thought it was, Father.
Lord, we are supernatural. We are strengthened. And you are moving on our behalf. Father, I just see tonight, God, that as people sow seeds, as people give their tithe, as they give their offerings, Father, you want every believer to understand that you are looking over every minute of their life. You've released a thought for every minute of our life, God. You have released strength. You have released redemption, Father. And Lord, if we don't grow weary in well-doing, we shall see God outcome after God outcome after God outcome. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I know we got, today's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I know we got 3 days, but I'm telling you, do whatever you can do, but be here on Sunday. I'm telling you, tonight's a moment. Tonight is a supernatural moment, but I'm telling you, Sunday's a supernatural day for us. And I'm telling you, get yourself stirred up, get yourself geared up. Go to bed early on Saturday. And put some prayer time in between now and then. Pray over Sunday that, Lord, when we come in here, I feel the presence and the anointing of God. Father, prepare me for the best moments of my life. Listen to me. I want to really get into us tonight as believers just a little bit. Because we're going to be talking about hearing and being led of the Spirit of God. Amen? How many of you understand that you need to hear spiritually? How many of you understand that you need to see spiritually? Listen to this. I just want to go to the very end of the book, and then I'm going to come back to where we were last week because I want to get there real quick. But it says, I counsel thee in Revelation 3:18, the Lord is speaking. How many of times that you know, even when I say something, if it's in red, you can't get mad at me because that's what Jesus said. Amen. Oh, I'm going to bring you a revelation tonight. But it says here, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see it. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Listen, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want you to know something, Christians, that we have to be absolutely careful that even though we're saved, filled with the power of God, and we have a right to see and hear supernaturally, we have got to make sure that in our salvation, that we don't let life, we don't let circumstances, and we do not let situations override our right to see and hear spiritually all the time. See, here's what I want you to know. Do you know that there are 7,000 promises in the Word of God? And this is why I tell Christians all the time that the first thing that the Lord said is, after you believe, now I need you to continue in my word. Get in my word. Read my word. Well, the Bible's complicated. I can't. That's a lie. The Bible says that for the believer, it's given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It's no longer a mystery. Listen to me. When you have treasures like the abundance of God, once you become a part of the family, he's unopening, he's unlocking that. But I'm telling you that if you are not filled with God's word, it's going to be difficult for you to hear, and it's going to be difficult for you to be led of the Spirit. In order to be able to discern God's voice, you got to know what he says. I'm telling you, I've heard some wacky stuff, crazy stuff. And I'm telling you that the word needs to be balanced against the word of God. Listen, if you sit me down and try to tell me a vision and try to tell me something you've seen, I am taking what you tell me in your little dream world, and I'm bouncing that off the scriptural foundational things. Because the Bible says that God will speak to us in vision and dreams. But guess what? He says there is a more sure word of prophecy. It's the word of God. Just like this, if I came up here and said, hey, thus saith the Lord, Nathan, God wants you to be broke and have nothing. Hallelujah. Would you say, hallelujah, I'm feeling that. Ooh, that's making me shake right down to my toes. No. Why? Because the word's in you. And when someone says something to you that's not God, there could be something in you that rises up and say, ooh. Doesn't matter how flowery it is. It matters if it lines up with the word of God. I want to talk to you tonight because I want you to understand something. That as Christians, you need more than just your natural experience and your own knowledge. Listen, I don't care what activity you're doing. Listen, remember that the disciples were experienced, successful fishermen. Do you remember that? They owned boats before they met Jesus. That means that they had fishing success. That was their occupation. But there was a time where once they knew Jesus, he came upon them and they had been fishing and toiling all night. They had been fishing and toiling all night. They had used everything they knew about the lake they were fishing, the sea they were fishing. They knew when it was best. They went out when the waves were right, when they were done. They went out when they had caught fish before, but that day they caught nothing. And it said they were toiling all night, and they came back in. The Lord used their boat, and then suddenly, in a moment, the Lord said, hey, go fishing now and drop your nets over there. And basically, he said, drop your nets. You know, they only took one net. So we as believers need to man up to the word of God. Because guess what? Jesus was with them. Jesus was preaching the word. And Jesus was doing miracles. And he's right in front of their face. And he said, drop your nets. And they said, we've toiled all night. In other words, Lord, we know this lake better than you. We've caught lots of fish here. We don't even know if you're a fisherman, you're a carpenter. But right now, just to be obedient to you at your word, we will drop a net. Too much of us just want partial obedience. See, we want to act like God's in control, but he's only in control this much. There's still this much that we're keeping to ourselves. But thank God they dropped the net. It was so full, Nate, that they had to get other ships to help them. And it didn't just bless their house. It blessed their friends. It blessed other fishermen. It blessed that whole region. What would have happened if they had fully plied with the Lord and dropped out several nets? They might have been able to retire that day. Hallelujah. But what I'm telling you is that I need you to understand that this word of God is real. It's available to every one of us. But the word of God is both logos and rhema. Have you ever heard those words? Okay,
Logos is that this word is a written truth from God. It is filled with promises. It's filled with absolute truth. But do you know the difference between the written word Logos being real and a rhema word? The written word is the word you read, but the rhema word is a word that is spoken right into your spirit. Now, I want to tell you this because I really need you to understand that this is critical for you to be led by the Spirit and hear the Spirit of God. Because these things combine up to how you know you're hearing God. Okay? So here's the thing. The Logos is this written word of promises. But how many of you can understand that when this written word of promises becomes real to you and God is speaking and you hear it, it'll just come to you different. You'll say, wow, I never saw that before. Have you ever been reading the word and just had a moment where it felt like, oh my goodness, and you made an adjustment to how you think, how you live, how you speak, how you act because of that word looked different to you today? I mean, it's like me. I used to read that word and hear, hey, a man that doesn't provide for his house. And then that word is not just speaking about men there, first of all. Speaking about mankind. So it's including both men and women. When men and women don't provide for their house, they are worse than an infidel. In other words, if you don't provide for your house, you are worse than an unbeliever. Well, we have always tied that to someone going out to work. And you better work because the Bible says that a man that shall not work shall not eat. The Bible says that a man should work as unto the Lord. The Bible says that God will bless the works of your hand and he gives you gifts and willy talents to work and do physical jobs. That's the will of God. But one day when I was reading that scripture, the Lord said, Philip, if all you do is make money for your house, you're doing the least of how I want you to provide. Bum, ba, bum, bum. He said, because before or while you're providing, I expect you to provide a peaceful, anointed atmosphere of the Word of God. I want you to provide faith. I expect you to provide blessing. I expect you to provide the Word of God. That's how a house is built. That's how you must build it. And so I realized that it was much more important for me to let the Word of God change me and for me to pray for Regina and pray for Philip. It was more important for me to do that than pick up a Big Mac. But I tell you what, I still picked up the Big Mac every week. Hallelujah. See, I don't want to leave that undone, but I want to make sure I'm handling the weightier things of the law. And so what I want you to know is that Scripture should be coming alive like that for you. Say this with me. Scriptures should come alive for me and should supernaturally come into my spirit, reside in my heart, and come out of me and deal with the issues of life. Now, I want you to understand something, that this word is true. And this word is available to you, but you have to access the word. Did you hear what Jesus just said? He said, hey, all of this is done, but I need you to see and I need you to hear. You know, we love that scripture that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you read that scripture, do you know what it's talking about? The man is in the middle of a battle. He's in the middle of some of the toughest times of his life. And instead of making his own decisions and doing things his way, he sticks to God's way of doing it. He prays. He's used by faith, walked by faith. And while he's doing that, God just adds, God adds, God changes, God delivers, God sets free. And before you know it, he said, man, the goodness of God is that when everything is a mess, if I will just humble myself and hear and do and keep peace around myself, if I can keep myself from checking out and blowing up and getting mad, if I can keep myself from getting frustrated, if I can keep myself from being woe is me moments, God will resonate and God will send help. God will restore. God will bring provision and God will help. Now, I said all that because I really want us to understand that if we are going to be led of God, we have to hear in the realm of the Spirit. We can't always just be working out of what we naturally know, what we can naturally do. We must make room for God. Say, I must make room for God. Now, I want to get to one other thing here that I want to bring up to you because I really think that this, let's just do this. We're going to go back to Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And I want to get to the point where Jesus comes into the synagogue and there's a man there that's been sick. And Jesus, you know, they ask him to pray for him to see if the Lord would heal him. First of all, they're all mad because he's doing this on the Sabbath day. And they're mad because they have all these rules that if someone needs healed, they need to come during the week. 6 days of the week, they can come and receive prayer. And the Lord was angry at this time. Because in this case, he says, what's easier for the Son of Man to say, thou sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk and be healed? But I want you to know that there was another time where the Lord was doing something on the Sabbath day and religious attitudes didn't like it. And the Lord said, are you kidding me? You don't want to have a compassion on a person who had a withered hand or a woman that was bent over in her back. You don't want to have compassion on that person, but on the same day, you'd feed your dog, your donkey, or some animal. But you're stiff-necked and religious about my provision being in the life of someone. See, I'm learning that we are going to have to love differently than we've ever loved. We're going to have to love people where they're at, and we're going to have the compassion of Christ for someone's life, not our religious attitudes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Miss Regina. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You guys ought to live stream the boxing service from Wednesday night. I'm telling you, you'll be blessed by it. But I really want us to see here something in the book of Mark chapter 2. And I really want to find this and concentrate on it. Because they brought a man to Jesus and they lowered him through a roof using great faith that was so sick he could not even walk. He was laying there on a stretcher. And when they lowered him, instead of saying, be healed, Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And right away, all the religious people had an attitude. And it says in verse 6, there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. First of all, I want you to know that these people were already offended at Christ. They already had an attitude about him because he was already stepping out of religious guidelines and preaching the gospel with an authority and with miracles that they had never seen. And they didn't like it. So they already had an attitude towards them, and it says, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now listen to this. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Now Jesus is speaking out loud verbally in response to things that was only said within the heart and with the mind of the people. Now listen to me. This is why Jesus saw the supernatural and the miraculous. Because he did not walk around only seeing with his natural eyes and only seeing with his natural thinking. He could be walking towards you, and even though you were doing an activity like dipping water out of the well and he was well thirsty, he wasn't just looking at you and seeing you dip water. He was hearing from the Father what your whole life had been. Woman, you've been married 5 times, and the man you're living with is your 6th person, and you're not even married to him. See, he's looking beyond the natural, and he's hearing and seeing in the Spirit what needs attached in someone's life and what needs fixed in someone's life. So I want you to hear this, because Jesus says that he could hear what was in their heart. And he said, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately that man stood up and went about his business. Listen to me, Christian. If you only respond to the natural outward things that you see concerning your children, concerning your spouse, concerning your church, concerning your work, concerning your neighbors, concerning friends, concerning people that you are attached to, concerning your children, I'm telling you right now that you are going to fail at maximizing what the Lord really wants you to do in life. We need to be led of the Spirit. And I want you to know that God wants you to be led of the Spirit. Now, I'm saying this to you because I want to say something to you. That God speaks to us in several ways. He speaks to us. He can speak to us through word, visions and dreams. He can speak to us through worship. He speaks to us when we're reading the Word. And he speaks to you, not me. I don't speak to you. When I'm preaching the gospel, it is God speaking to you. Ooh, you're just a man. Yeah, but when I'm preaching this Word and it comes and something hits you and you hear, that has nothing to do with me. That's God giving you a rhema word. As a believer, you have to make sure that you're doing personal study. You have to make sure that you are using your gifts. And you have to make sure that you are part of the church. Have I ever preached something and you said, oh my goodness, was Pastor preaching about our business? You know, when I first came here, I would have people come up to me, and this is how I knew people were gossiping in the church. You want to know how I knew? Because people would come up with me about an attitude over something I preached in the message, and they would be holding me accountable to some trash talk they were doing behind the scenes with somebody else, and they thought someone had come to me and run their mouth. Wasn't at all. And they didn't know that they were coming up to me, Pastor, you are preaching right to me today. I don't know that I'm preaching right to you. I am getting alone, and I'm preparing a message that God puts in my spirit. What comes out of what I preach and hits your spirit is different to every person, because God's been with you during the week, and God is gleaning you to glean something out of my message that you hear. I mean, sometimes I hear what you guys hear out of my message, and I'm just spinning in a circle saying, I didn't know I was saying that. I thought I was preaching on being led of the Spirit, and all they heard was this, that, and the other. They heard a service on marriage. This one heard a service on how I should be working with my boss. This one heard a service on I need to forgive my brother. This one heard a service on I need to work on my relationship with my father. You guys are hearing because I am not a man teaching you. Now, I'm going to go to this scripture because people in their carnal mind misinterpret this scripture. And right now, half of the church is in these little home-baked home groups thinking that they are pastoring themselves, thinking that they're above the scripture, and thinking that they're above the Word of God when they've really misinterpreted what God is trying to say to them. Whew, I don't know how we got here, but this is what the Lord told me to preach on. It says right here in 1 John chapter 2, and I love this, because in verse 20 it says, you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One that ye know all things. Now don't get yourself prideful. Don't get yourself puffed up. because you don't know all things unless you seek God on that subject and he give you a word of wisdom or knowledge about that subject. You have the potential to know all things, but we know about 20% of what we should know because we only seek God on 10% of the activity, and he gives us a double portion on the 10% we seek. But 80% of the time, we're off doing it our own way, thinking we're doing something, and we ain't doing nothing. Don't be telling me that how much you love your wife unless you have bathed your relationship in the prayers and the scriptures related to men. Don't tell me how much God has blessed you with your job if once you prayed and got your job, you forgot about prayer and you're just working in your job, doing your everyday thing on your own power. Don't be telling me how God has blessed you with your job. He did bless you with your job, but you are forgetting to include him in it. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that when I walk into my job today, I'm not by myself. You're with me. God, I thank you that when employees speak to me today, I'm not just going to hear what they're saying outwardly. Father, the same Holy Ghost that can interpret tongues in church, the same Holy Ghost that can give me wisdom when I pray about my salvation and about my life and about my character, that same Holy Ghost will let me hear what people are saying to me so I will know if they're trying to deceive me, if they're trying to lie to me, or if they're telling the truth. Lord, I thank you that even though my boss is not saved, when it comes to this, God, because we are praying and because there's believers that work here, God, you're going to touch them. And just like you touched King Cyrus and many men in the Bible, and you're going to help them make right decisions over our job. You know, I worked at a job, and I didn't know it, but my boss would come in as early as I do. And I didn't know it, but my boss would follow me around, and I'd be praying because I'm walking in there. Lord, I thank you. You told me everywhere my foot shall follow that it would be blessed, God. I thank you that whether people are saved or not in this shop, they're going to work in unity, God. They're going to be blessed just because I've walked down these aisles. God, I thank you that our contracts are going to go right. Father, I thank you that you are blessing this place. One day, my boss started coming in during contract negotiations with the union, and he'd say, Phil, today's going to be a good day. I need you to pray. It's going to be a tough day. And I'd say, why are you coming in here asking me to pray? He said, Phil, I hear you praying about this all the time. I need you to pray. I didn't even know if my boss was saved at the time. But he knew how to come in and get prayer on something, and guess what? We would sign contracts. We went from 3 years to 5 years. We went to putting raises in our contracts. And guess what? Our union activity just ceased. They used to strike. They used to be mad. And guess what? Once I started praying that way, you know we never had a strike and we never had a failed contract. Now listen to me. We need to include God in what we're doing. Now I want to get off that rabbit trail, and I want to come to something. Because this scripture will really goofy people up. But it says right here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Do you know people will take scriptures like this and leave the church because they think that I'm just the man teaching them? Are you on crack? The Bible says in Mark chapter 13, verse 11, that when we begin to preach to people, it is not ourselves, it is the Holy Ghost. And when I preach something to you, and it comes pounding into your circumstances that you ain't shared with me, that's not Pastor Philip seeing your life. That's God who you are acting up in front of seeing your life. And that's God speaking to you, trying to fix your life. And when I speak to you and this Logos word that I'm preaching becomes rhema and you hear something, I don't care if you're at work and you're about to cold cock someone and you remember me saying you don't even punch your enemies. You have to love them. Listen, if you're at work and you hear my voice, that is not Pastor Philip, a man teaching you. That is God relating to you with the spiritual anointed voices that he's given you to bless your life. Steve, every time I talk to you as a pastor, has it always been, Steve, I'm glad you enjoyed the message today. Hallelujah, everything's perfect. Just go your way, brother. Is that how our conversations go? Absolutely. No, our conversations always go that way, don't they? Nathan, our conversations always go that way, don't you? Amen, they are good. But what I'm telling you is that if you are really receiving me in your life, guess what? I'm going to be looking at the God potential, and I'm going to be challenging you with the spirit of love, because I'm not going to allow you to sit where you're at, because the God potential in you is bigger than what you know. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And so listen to me. When I'm preaching this gospel, and I need to say this, because this is going to happen more and more as we grow. See, in a smaller congregation, people can be carnal enough to believe that I've heard every conversation that people went talking to someone else about, and somehow it supernaturally gets back to me. No, your pastor ain't hunting it down. I ain't looking. I ain't chasing you down, and I ain't calling for that stuff, because this is what I know, is that when I'm right here preaching this gospel, if I have went to the Lord to get my message, then in that word, is going to be something for every one of you, because God is speaking into your life what he needs to speak. And I just get the joy of saying, hey, that gives you a confirmation that you're where you should be and God is speaking directly to you. Hallelujah. Now, I will tell you that sometimes if you don't take what God says to you, then the shepherd in me, as I pray, will show me something. He doesn't show me the details. But this one time, Regina and I was having a conversation, and me and her were not fighting. But we had been through a situation that was just terrible. And we had seen some people acting in a way that was not Christ. And this is way back in the 90s. It has nothing to do with today. I'm not talking about any current issues. But we were driving down the road, and we were talking, and Regina said, honey, this is awful. And Pastor Dosick called me 30 seconds later. And he said, Philip, he said, I don't know what's going on. He said, but I just saw Regina say it's awful. He said, and I don't know what's going on, but I need to tell you something. That first of all, if you're yelling at her, you straighten yourself up. And I said, Pastor, I'm not yelling at her. He said, well, I tell you what, I seen the situation, and God wants you to know that, yes, what you went through is not good, but he needs you to trust him, he needs you to believe in him, and he needs you to know that he's bringing you out on the other side. One time I called a person, and I called them, and I tell you what, they answered the phone and said, hello, Pastor Phil. And I said, yeah. I said, how are you doing today? Much better now. And I said, yep, I know, because God told me to call you right now, and you would know that he loves you, and he would know that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That guy would walk up to me and just stare at me. And I thought, what is wrong with him? And one day he said, Pastor Phil, I got to tell you something. I said, what? He said, you know the other day when you called me? I said, yeah. He said, my wife said that if she was telling me the truth, and if I need to quit yelling and blaming her and thinking the worst of her, if she was telling me the truth, that Pastor Phil would call right now and ask to speak to me. I want you to know something. Now, I got to be careful when I'm telling you this stuff, because I don't want to put it out there where anybody could know, but I one time had a person
who God told me to call, and I kept calling them, and they wouldn't call me back. So guess what? Somehow, Pastor Dosick sent out a message, and guess what? This person said, hey, who is this? And Pastor Dosick called and said, hey, I don't know who you are, but I was sending a message to some friends, and God told me to call you and just tell you that you need to honor the authorities in your life, that they're doing nothing but good for you, and you need to go back to your church. And he said, do you go to church somewhere? They said, yeah, I go in Kenton, Ohio. And he said, you don't go to Only Believe, do you? And they said, yes, Pastor Phil Walker. They called Pastor Dosick. Is that crazy? And he said, well, I don't know if you know who I am. He said, but this is Pastor Peter Dosick. They said, what? It is? Listen to me. I'm telling you that God will speak in your life, but I'm not telling you this for my benefit. I'm telling you that God speaks to you, and you've got to start believing that it's Him. Karen, the next time someone's in your heart, don't just think about them, pray for them. And if God unctions you to call them, guess what? Your voice is the voice they need. Hallelujah. Could you believe that your voice is the voice someone needs today? And listen to me, would you believe that you are anointed to hear God directly speak to you so that your life can be transformed? One day, way back when we were just babies in Christ, it was all my fault. I was driving Regina from Piqua to Botkins, Ohio to go to church. And we were having a Holy Ghost time. We had all kinds of spirit in the car. The voice, the tone in our car was elevated. Unfortunately, guess what? It was the kind of elevation where the Lord says that when there's division and strife, you got every evil work and it's not good. And it was all my fault. Regina was totally innocent. But I was just all worked up and so mad that I said, fine, if we're going to have attitudes like this, we certainly don't need to go to church today. And I got off an exit or two before the box convicted, and I was driving back down to Pickle as fast as I could. And by the time we got to the next exit, God convicted both of us, didn't He? And I probably apologized because it was all my fault. But anyhow, God convicted us, and we turned around and we went back. I got to tell you something. The moment we stepped into worship that day, we were revolutionized. And when the word was preached that day, it spoke to so many things we had going on. It absolutely transformed our lives. And I realized right then that when the devil gets me to stop reading my Bible, when the devil gets me to stop praying, and when the devil gets me to stop going to church, I am going to not hear the Spirit of God speak to me and deal with issues. Because when I am operating in the pastoral office, I am not the voice of man. I'm not teaching you. The Holy Ghost gives you the parts of the message that confirm to you, wow, I was in that scripture this week. Oh my goodness, we were teaching about the Holy Ghost in our own Bible study. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Things start popping in your spirit because this is a part of God's leading for your life. Do you understand that? Now, I want you to just hear one more thing. Hallelujah. And this is important because going forward, I need you to be able to hear what God is really speaking to you when we speak to you, myself or Pastor Regina. Too many times people think that we're just talking out of ourselves, and we're not. We're talking to you out of the Spirit of God for your life. Hallelujah. Nathan, how many years ago was it that I met you before we ever met here? It had to be, we've been here 8 years now. I would say that it was at least 3 to 4 or 5 years before that.
Exactly, exactly. And then there was a moment where I got to speak into Nathan's life, and then we went a couple years, and it wasn't until we were in this church getting things done that he said, hey, do you? And I said, absolutely, I remember. I want you to know something. That young man back there sitting by the door, I was right here in Kenton, and Pastor Dosick was doing a miracle service. And I believe it was an aunt, wasn't it? Yes. His brother's ex-mother-in-law came down front and said, hey, I don't know what she said, a nephew or someone that we really care about. They're in the hospital. They have this disease, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It was actually lupus. And pastor said, okay, I'm going to pray, da-da-da-da. Boom, 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 praise, boom. Breaks it, said he's going to be healed. He's going to come out of the hospital. And then all this time later, here we are at Only Believe, and that young man walks through the door, and he's now a part of a church where the anointing of God touched his life probably 15 years before you even knew who we were. Huh? 20 years. So at least 12 years before he even knew what an Only Believe was, the anointing of Pastor Dosick was a part of helping his life. I remember that there's a young lady that when we first came here, she had never been saved, got saved, and the first TVs we ever had in this church came from about a 16, 17-year-old girl at the time. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to hear just something real quick. And, I'm probably going on and on, aren't I? I got a few minutes, amen. Lord, stand time still, just like you did for Joshua. Uphold the day. Freeze us right now at this time, just for a minute. I want you to see something here, that Paul the Apostle was preaching a message, I believe it was Paul, and I want you to see something here, that it says in Acts chapter 14, verse 8, well, let's go up a couple before that, verse 3. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Listeria and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Now listen to this. And there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him. Now listen, this man had never walked. It doesn't say that he waved his hand. It doesn't say that he got stirred up and said outwardly, hey, I'm hearing you, Paul, and I want to be healed. It says that Paul, speaking steadfastly, beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. I'm telling you that here we see again that Paul the Apostle perceived. There was no physical outward sign of anything. Now, blind Bartimaeus, he perceived in his heart that if he cried to the Lord, he could be saved. And he started crying, and even when they told him, shut up, don't speak, he cried even the louder. Let me tell you something. When Regina first got saved, I was at work, and I wasn't at church with her that day. And they told her, hey, if you got saved today,
you have got to go tell somebody, because the Bible says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. They said, go tell somebody that you got saved. And this is how I knew Regina was saved. I worked at a retail store, and I was sitting there all dressed up, and all of a sudden I said, my goodness, who's that good-looking blonde girl coming my way? Whew, that is Miss Regina. And I thought, oh, she looks different. She used to have a pretty set face years ago. She had a set face. Now she's all kind and nice. But let me tell you something. She came up to me, and she was looking strange. She was all smiley and stuff, and I'd never quite seen her like that. She said, yeah. And she was shy back then. She wasn't who she is. So she was quiet. So she was trying to say it politely and quietly, and her smile was as big as I've ever seen it. She said, Phil, I need to tell you something. So I walked away from the service just a few feet, and I said, what? She said, I got saved today. I said, you did what? She said, I thought I asked you, you did what? No, I know what I said, but I thought I asked you again. I said it right away. Okay, well, she obviously, I thought I asked her what. I said, what did you say? And she said, I got saved today. I said, no, you didn't. You did not. And she said, oh, yes, I did. I know I got saved. And I feel better. I got saved. And she just walked out of there. And I tell you what, the first voice of the devil came from the man that was supposed to be loving her. I felt like Job's wife. Just go ahead and curse your God and die. What a bad word I gave her. But I tell you what, you guys think I have faith. That woman had faith, hallelujah. When I asked Regina to marry me, I dressed. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Okay, this is how Regina and I got married. I came home and I looked at her and said, hey, we're getting married in 3 weeks, whatever you want to do. But I got to tell you something, man. When we had that conversation, I can still remember the day that I was looking around and I had my six little milk carts there. They used to make these old milk carts, and you could get them in steel or you could get them in plastic. The new fancy plastic ones came out, so they were blue and orange colored. So I had two blue stacked up. I had two blue stacked up here, and I had one orange that my little 14-inch or 18-inch black and white TV from college sat on, hallelujah, with the antennas on it. And here I am asking her to marry me. Honey, one day I'm going to buy you diamonds. Yeah. Boy, be careful what you say, because you will be held to your word. Amen. But I thought about it years later. I thought, how much faith did Regina have that her hero at the time had her all decked out with five milk carts? And she saw faith, and she saw provision, and she saw hope, hallelujah. Listen to me. The Spirit of the Lord wants to speak to you directly, but you have to have the word in you so that you can discern the voices that speak into your life. Amen? So let's hear God, and let's move into what he has for us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, your word is available for us to hear you, God. God, we need to speak, we need to hear, and Lord, you will declare unto us, God. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that, God, we're going to hear you, and we're going to hear the Spirit of the Lord. And God, the Logos word is going to go to Rhema. And God, it's going to change us from the inside out. It's going to redeem us. It's going to strengthen us. It's going to heal us, God. The word of God is not just good for our spirit, but it is good for our soul, even to the very marrow of our bones, Father. Lord, I thank you that Psalms 103 says, forget not the benefits of God, that not only have you forgiven us of our sins, but God, you heal us, you bless us, and the Bible says you will renew our youth. Father, I thank you that I'm more alive today by the Spirit of the Lord because you have come to give life and life more abundantly. God, I thank you that even with a few gray hairs, I'm more alive today than I was 20 years ago. God, declare your glory, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, with that being said, just...